with regard to the doctrine that some people espouse, that all of the knowledge of the world can be found in the Torah. There's no question that the Torah comes from Hashem, and I'm just using descriptive terms. Hashem, His wisdom is infinite. That even that statement doesn't really philosophically make sense. All knowledge comes from Hashem, and obviously any book that was written by Hashem is perfect. However, the idea that the Torah contains all of knowledge has to be clarified. What exactly do you mean? Now, my position is that the Torah is consistent. Everything in the Torah is true, and there is nothing in the rest of the universe or in reality on any dimension that could be in contradiction with Torah. That's the reason why there's no contradiction. There can never be a contradiction between true Torah and true science. Sometimes it may appear that that's the case, but it can't be, because it's one author. God is the author of reality, of the universe, the laws of nature, and so forth. God is the author of the Torah. And the Torah does contain metaphysical knowledge, abstract, you know, knowledge which is not accessible to everyone. And the great, you know, scholars are aware of this. They speak about Kabbalah. There was something called Kabbalah, which was only taught from one. By the way, the books you read today about Kabbalah are very, 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 very questionable, because true Kabbalah is something which was limited to the very few and could not be taught publicly. So the idea of having a public book about Kabbalah doesn't make any sense. This, and the Rambam maintains that we lost that Kabbalah, that chain. That can only be learned from teacher to student, teacher to student. The Ramban claimed that he was a Makubal. I'm not getting into that phenomenon. I'm not interested in that discussion, whether we have genuine Makubalim today. That's not the point. The point is that we all agree that there was such a thing as Kabbalah. Kabbalah, however, was not a knowledge which would give you medical knowledge or technological expertise. It was very profound, abstract ideas pertaining to things like the universe, perhaps certain what we would call secrets. The Rambam says that Chazal had secrets of creation, certain knowledge pertaining to Maaseh Bereishis creation, which does have to do with the physical world, and so on and so forth. Okay, but if you tell me that all of the knowledge that has been discovered pertaining to mundane matters, how to build a car, science, how to cure cancer, what we would call medical knowledge, scientific knowledge, which mankind has striven to build up slowly but surely through trial and error, every generation, and people, the only way in which anybody ever discovered anything of that kind of a cure was through the use of the rational faculty, the development of science. And nobody ever, as far as I'm aware, was able to or maintain the position that you don't have to study science, that we've had great, going back to Chazal, and the Ramban himself, who was a Makubal, who had Kabbalah, was also a doctor, never ever maintained that he doesn't have to study medicine outside of the Torah, but he would study the Torah and discover the medical cures. If this knowledge existed in the Torah, then the Jewish people would be the healthiest people, would have been just like we're in possession of the true way of life, the 613 commandments, the Derech Hashem. We're in possession of it. To the extent to which we understand it properly and live by it, that's something else, but we are in possession of the Masorah. We have the Masorah that God wanted us to have. You must say that, because it says that the Torah is eternal and God revealed it to us and it'll be there forever. To say that the Torah also contains this type of knowledge, which is very, very important. Everybody, it's just as important, for example, to take care of your body as it is to do the mitzvos. I mean by that because, as the Rambam says, in order to serve Hashem, you have to be in a certain kind of healthy physical state, physically, emotionally, and therefore the care of the body is a mitzvah. So now if you're going to tell me that it was God's will to communicate to the Jewish people all of, not just what we call Torah knowledge. Torah knowledge is the realm of the relationship between God and man, what we call, you know, the religious, I'm just using terms loosely, the religious, the spiritual, the perfection. If you tell me that that was not the only arena of the revelation, but that God wanted to reveal as well practical information, technology, science, communications, medicine, cures for cancer, and so on and so forth. And so I ask you, so where is it? How come we don't have it? No one has ever maintained such a thing. Everybody maintains in Judaism that we have to, for example, if somebody gets ill, it's true that in the time of Tanakh, they would go to the Navi. There was a time when the Jews were on a very high level and they wouldn't go to the doctor, they would go to the Navi. The Ramban talks about that. That's not because they thought that the Navi has a cure. We do see cases in Tanakh, the case of Eliyahu when he resuscitated the dead child. That was not through any particular mechanical, any kind of technology. That was due to his prayer to Hashem. And it should be regarded as a nace, as a miracle. So the only time we find that people in the Torah are able to facilitate changes in nature, overpowering the laws of nature and so on and so forth, it's not because they had a special insight. That doctrine, by the way, if it's taken far enough, if that doctrine is misunderstood, it can be construed as negating miracles. Because you could say that these people were able to do these things because they had all these secrets of technology. But it's not the case. Anytime you read the cure of Naaman, for example, the cure of Naaman. Naaman had a leprosy. He went to the Navi, Naaman, and he was able to cure him of his leprosy. But it wasn't because it was a physical cure. He told him to go into the waters and bathe, but that was only because he wanted him to do certain things, because he wanted to communicate certain information to him, to elevate him to a higher level, to elevate him above the level of idolatry. But the cure was from Hashem. It was a nace. Now, I maintain that one can't make the claim that the Torah contains that knowledge, because we've had the Torah for 3,500 years, and none of the great scholars ever made such a claim. All of them studied when they needed knowledge of science, even the science that was necessary for setting the calendar and so forth, astronomy. They studied astronomy. The Greeks were great in astronomy. The rabbis acknowledged that, the greatness of the Greeks in astronomy. The Rambam, the Ramban, every great Torah scholar from the day the world was created until now, when it came to an area of general knowledge which is not contained in the Torah, which is not part of the Masorah, always went to the source. And that's legitimate. As the Rambam says in the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem, that how do you acquire Ahavas Hashem? And he says, when a person is mizbonein, b'masav, when a person studies God's creations, and you derive an appreciation of the infinite wisdom of the Borei in the creation. And then the study of Torah too. In the Sefer HaMitzvot, he says, when a person studies Torah. So you see, it's another expression of divine wisdom. Clearly, making a differentiation between the study of Torah and the study of nature. Thus, I maintain that it does not... Let me finish my presentation. I maintain that it does not make any sense to say that the Torah contains all of that knowledge. Now, I know the retort will be, it's there, but no one, but the people can't access it. Well, what does that mean, it's there, but people can't access it? It doesn't make sense that, no, if you tell me, just like Kabbalah is not for everybody, it's an elite, it's a group, it's a cult, but it did exist, there were Bali HaKabbalah. Or the Rambam says that the Torah has secrets to Maaseh Bereishis, that Chachmei Yadus, the Chachamim of Torah, knew. Then it was lost, but they knew it. To tell me that there is a body of wisdom that no one ever knew, nobody ever accessed it, because if they accessed it, then we would have it. Then the Jews today, if that were true, would be the healthiest people with the most advanced technologies and so forth. Whether we share it with the other nations, I don't know. We certainly would rule the world. How could the Jews have been persecuted all those years? We would have an atom bomb. But by the way, we don't even know what's good. We don't. What we have today could be very primitive 100 years from now. So the Torah would have the most advanced that would ever be discovered. So at the end of time, so to speak, when mankind has finished making all of its discoveries and whatever they have for transportation, which I assume will be way, way beyond what we have today, we should have had that on day one because all that is in the Torah. There'd be no steady progress. There'd be no concept of progress in the obtainment of technological knowledge. We would have the most advanced knowledge in every area on day one because it's from Hashem. Now, that obviously did not happen. Nobody ever turned to the Torah as a source for that kind of knowledge. Thus, you're maintaining that it's there, but there's no way to get it. Well, you can't say it's there, but no one has the ability. That doesn't make sense, because even the most difficult Tamei HaMitzvos, the reasons for the mitzvos, so the Rambam says that the Chukim, generally speaking, we can discover the reasons, Tamei HaMitzvos. Except the difficult area is the Chukim, the so-called statutes, that don't seem to, on the superficial level, don't seem to have a reason. But the Rambam says the great Chacham discovered reasons. Then there was the Parah Aduma, right? Shlomo HaMelech knew the reasons for virtually all of the Chukim except for the Parah Aduma, and Moshe Rabbeinu knew the reason for the Parah Aduma. So there you have a body of knowledge that's very, very difficult. You've got to be an extremely advanced, but people have gotten it. Thus, what you're saying over here is that there's nobody that can access this knowledge, but the knowledge is there. What meaning does that have to make a statement like that? That I'm not going to argue, since there's no way you could test that statement. That is to say, the only way the statement would make sense is that the Torah has this body of knowledge. And therefore, it's there. It's waiting for us to discover it. That is an impossibility, because the greatest Chachamim, like Moshe Rabbeinu, and all the greatest have not discovered. What are you going to say? That a new generation of Chachamim is going to come along that's greater than the greatest we've ever had? Nobody maintains that. So therefore, you're going to have to say that... And I'll ask another question. Why did God put it in there? Why did God put something in there? What's the purpose? Would an author put something in a book? It's to communicate it to the audience. Now, admittedly, there's different levels of audience, and some things may be in there for just the few, because it's God's will that these few people are the people that reach the highest level. They're deserving of this wisdom. But that's not the case with regard to this wisdom, so then the whole idea becomes meaningless. To say that there exists a body of knowledge in this book, but nobody has access to it. Well, how can you test? First of all, how can you prove whether it's there or not there, since nobody has access to it? Secondly, what is the sense of saying it's there? It's not there. I mean, there means that it's in a book, and I can. You're talking about a book. To say that something is in a book means, that is to say, if I put something in a book, okay, I wrote a book for people to study, peruse, and it contained many different things. I also put in there certain secrets on how to become well, absolute, how you become wealthy. However, I put it in there in a way that it's impossible to figure out. Nobody could possibly figure it out. So then I'll ask you, is it in there? I mean, no, in what sense is it in there? It's like scribbles. You made lines, but in there means it's been communicated. Putting something in a book means that it's there and it exists in accordance with the laws of communication and language, and not everybody can decipher it. But... in other words, it's like saying I've created a music in this room. I've created a way of providing music in this room, except nobody could hear it. So I put the music in the room, and it's impossible to hear it. If it's impossible to hear it, is it music? There must be some way of accessing it. If there's no way of accessing it, then in my opinion, it's not there. So, in conclusion, I do not take the statements. I understand that all knowledge is in the Torah, in the sense of all the wisdom that man, wisdom. The Torah deals with a certain kind of wisdom pertaining to life and philosophy and psychology, not in the technical sense of how you could treat psychosis, but in the sense of wisdom. All you need to know, all anybody would ever need to know about the makeup of man and how he's to live his life and deep insights into the psyche and so on and so forth. But knowledge of how the cell functions and so on and so forth, that's not included in Torah. God left that to man through history and progress to discover it. A case is being mentioned, I don't know if this is true or not true. A story, supposedly, that there was a person needed an operation on the lungs or the brain, something like that. and the doctor didn't know how to find an opening where the opening could be. And supposedly, I have not had, someone's bringing it up, I never heard the story, that the Chazon Ish, one of the great Torah scholars, informed the doctor, because his studies of the structure of an animal, which had to do with trephos, with...
No, it may have been from Chulin.
From Chulin?
I'm just saying it may have been.
Let's assume it was from Chulin. I would imagine that in order to study all the laws pertaining to treph, so great Talmid Chacham had a clear understanding of the structure, of certain structures within the body. So it's possible, let's assume it were the lungs, to make it easier. Because you have to know about adhesions in the lungs, and so on and so forth. And that in his studies, he would have discovered something about anatomy or the structure of the body. And therefore, he communicated it to the doctor, so the story goes, and the doctor used the information. I'm very skeptical of the story. I'll tell you why. It is, but, according to the story itself, there's nothing in that story which disproves what I'm saying. The Torah does coincide with certain areas of physical reality. And that is, for example, the mile, generally speaking, I think doctors recognize that circumcisions are performed better by mohalim than by even doctors, because that's their expertise, they've been doing it, and so on and so forth. So there's a crossover between the Torah and the world of physical reality. The Torah does talk about an animal, does talk about Shechita. It has to be very, very precise. So people who study Shechita study the anatomy. So they'll, in the study of the anatomy, they're going to discover. The Torah will communicate certain things, and the Torah will always be correct. Here's a perfect example of the point that the Torah contains all of knowledge. The Torah, when the Torah lists the forbidden animals, they have to have split hooves and chew the cud in order to be kosher. And if it only has one siman, if it has one without the other, then it's treif. This is an interesting case, which some people use to prove that the Torah comes from a divine source. In Parsha Shemini, the Torah lists the animals that are kosher. As we know, it has to have split hooves and chew the cud. Then it says that there are certain animals that you may not eat that chew the cud, but do not have split hooves. And it mentions four such animals. That mentions four such animals, and that's it. It lists, there's only four species of animals that are like that, that chew the cud, but don't have split hooves. Now, if you traverse the entire world to the world of history, they never discovered any other but those four. Now, at that point in time, how much of the world was actually explored? Right? The Jewish people, 3,500 years ago, in that location of the world, how could anybody make a statement as definitive as that? How would anybody know at that point in time that there were only four species like that? So it had to be that the source was from some being who had complete knowledge, knowledge of the totality of the world. So that's fine, that makes perfect sense. The Torah is consistent with all knowledge. So that's perfect, that the Torah will tell you. And no one else could have told you that at that point in time, because everybody's knowledge was tentative. It could have given a couple of examples. But that is a very impressive type of a indication, let's say, of the divinity of the Torah. It's not, we don't base everything just on that. I mean, if you told that to a person, he'd say it's impressive, but I don't think a person on the basis of that alone would accept it. And I'm not saying that that's the basis of our belief, conviction that the Torah is divine, but that does indicate what we're saying. Yes, all truth is found in the Torah. But it's not in the sense, I am maintaining, it's not in the sense that you can learn medicine from the Torah. The reason why I'm skeptical about the story about the Chazon Ish is because, what are you saying? How did he get this knowledge about the brain or the lungs? By studying it. Not because the Torah, he figured out something in the Torah which meant that there's an opening over there. That's not what it means. It means that because he was studying Chulin and he had to know the structure of an animal, so he studied anatomy. So the same thing the doctor studied. When a person is studying Shechita And what does it mean? And they study Shechita, so they have to know about the lung and how it's constructed. So what do? They get a diagram, or they take an ad. They do the same thing. They do the same thing that a doctor would do, that any medical student does. Anatomy course. You can go to a... They don't have any... When it comes to that part, they have to look at reality. They have to study it. They have to study it in the same way anybody else does. The Torah itself is not going to... The Torah is only telling you how, insofar as it pertains to Shechita, what you have to do. But to understand the structure of an animal, you have to study the animal. So clearly, his knowledge in that area of the animal and its makeup can't be better than a doctor's. Doctors study that all the time. So how is it possible that the doctors would have missed something like that, and he would have discovered, especially today with all the MRIs and so on and so forth, they look at, they scan the brain. Would boggle the mind to say that someone, a student studying in yeshiva, has a better understanding of the brain, you know, these types of, than somebody, you know, with the most advanced technology. Is it possible? It could be possible. But again, that story is very suspicious to me, and it wouldn't prove anything, because it would mean that he happened to notice something because he was so sharp. Clearly, the Gedolim, people like the Chazon Ish, are great, great geniuses and can apply that genius to all areas. So if he would look at... If for whatever reason he would look into a medical issue and come up with a deeper idea than the doctor, that would not surprise me, because he has a greater mind. But it's not proving that the Torah contains that knowledge. I want to say again that to say that something is in a book but nobody can get it means to say that its being in the book is no different as if it wouldn't have been included in the book. There's no difference between its being in the book and its not being in the book. Thus, it's not in the book. Now someone is proposing a different possibility, that is to say, you can't derive the knowledge of the universe and so forth from the Torah. However, you must derive it from other sources. However, once you do arrive at a scientific truth, then you can look back in the Torah and you can find that the Torah indicated the scientific truth. That's a different statement. As far as that's concerned, I don't know that that's true. Maybe in some cases, yes. Maybe it's the Torah does contain certain types of knowledge like that. Let me give you an example. Another example of the fact that all truth is contained in the Torah would be that there will be a Mashiach. That's a big statement. The Torah is saying, it's telling you, it's making a prediction about the future. Now, no individual could know that. Okay, when Mashiach comes, everybody will know the Torah is true. Everybody will know the Torah is true. And that's going to be a very significant instrument for bringing the whole world to the Torah. Because it's impossible that people back then, a few thousand years ago, could know how history would end up. So the Torah is telling us very clearly, in the Tanakh and in the Torah Sheba'al Peh, that there will be a Mashiach who will rescue the Jewish people from their enemies, and he will ingather the Jews and rebuild the base on Migdash and inaugurate a period of world peace, absolute world peace. Everything that the Rambam describes. So, however, the Rambam says that we just know it in a very hazy way. We can't predict. If you go to the sources, here's a perfect illustration of what I'm talking about. So why not study what the Nevi'im said, and we'll be able to see whether it's happening now. We'll be able to know if we're in the Messianic era. So the Rambam says, because the way they describe it is a closed way. It's closed. It's just hints. It's indicators general. But nobody knows the specific way in which it's going to unfold. Once it actually unfolds, then you'll look back into the blueprint. Then you'll see this was referring to this. But there's no way in prospect, foreknowledge, to figure it out. You can't figure it out. They were specific. They didn't write it in a way that you could figure it out. However, afterwards, in retrospect, it'll become clear to you. So we do have that kind of a knowledge that the Torah does contain that can only be understood in retrospect. However, I don't think it applies to everything. I do not believe that there is because this is not the subject matter of the Torah. There's been a zillion discoveries and the computer and the internet and so on and so forth. I don't believe that there must be, and there's no reason to posit such a thing, that there are certain psukim that now we could look into them, we'll understand it was referring to the internet. Now, if that were the case, if somebody could demonstrate that, fine. I mean, I'm not opposed to the possibility of that being there. I'm merely saying that my understanding of Torah is that that's not the case. There's no necessity. You don't enhance Torah. It seems to me, I spoke about this yesterday, that people think that they're enhancing the Torah by making all of these claims. And I think that's a very dangerous approach. That is, that this doctrine, in my opinion, the need to maintain that all knowledge is contained in the Torah, even knowledge of the atom bomb and missile systems and so forth, practical kind of knowledge, is a very dangerous thing. It leaves the Jews and the Torah vulnerable to ridicule, because I think that most honest, intelligent people will regard this as being ridiculous because of the reasons that I mentioned. Moreover, I think it is rooted in a certain inability to appreciate the genuine wisdom of Torah. If people were completely infused with awe at the genuine wisdom of the knowledge that Torah gives us, the understanding of the mitzvos, the ideas that are contained in the Torah, the beauty of the structures of the halacha, and then probing into the stories in the Chumash and gaining the deep insights, then they'd be filled with a profound sense of awe and Ahavas Hashem. And they wouldn't need to make this claim. That's the Chachmah. That is the Chachmah of the Torah. It does say that the entire world will be affected and influenced by the Chachmah of the Torah. That's our mission, to demonstrate for the world the Chachmah of the Torah. Now, let's take a look. If it were true that the Torah contained this kind of knowledge, then it would be very easy to win over the world. If the Torah scholars could turn to Torah and develop a cure for AIDS, let's say, because the knowledge of all cures is in the Torah. If we had the ability to do that, and we came to the International Conference on AIDS, and we said, we have set aside an initiative, great Torah scholars getting together, they're going to study the Torah, and they will discover the cure for AIDS from the Torah. It'll be ready in 6 months. The entire world would now say, yeah, that's it. They'd all, Mashiach would come, because everybody would recognize that the Torah has the truth. It says, however, in Devarim, Ushmartem vasisem osam, you shall guard and perform them, meaning the chukos. Kihi chachmaschem ubinaschem li'enei ha'amim, for this is your wisdom and discernment in the eyes of the nation. Asher yishmun, they will hear es kol ha'chukam eila, they'll hear all these statutes, they'll hear the mitzvos, and they'll say, rak am chacham v'navon ha'gaya gadol hazeh. That is, what a wise and discerning nation is this great people. That will come about through a appreciation of the true Chachmas HaTorah, which has to do with understanding the system of Torah, the mitzvos of the Torah, the ideas, the philosophies, the ashkafot. But it does not mention anything at all about a separate kind of wisdom, which is the wisdom of the nations. By the way, the Gemara does say, if someone says, Yesh Chachma Bagayim, that there's Chachma, the Goyim have Chachma, Tamin. You should believe it. That is, the Goyim have Chachma. What's Chachma? The Chachma of science, the Chachma of technology. Yesh Torah b'Goyim, that the Goyim have Torah, al Tamin. Don't believe it. Torah is something which is revealed only to the Jews. Again, clearly making a distinction between the Chachma of Torah, Torah knowledge, and Chachma in general knowledge, which the Goyim do have general knowledge. Bear in mind that people will appreciate the wisdom of the Jews. The wisdom is one which is based upon an honesty, a truthfulness, and that they're not phonies. You all have a sense when somebody is trying to glorify his product and twisting it around, you know, like that he's a phony. It does be stick with the product. You know, don't try to make him into something that it isn't. Get my point? If somebody's trying to sell you a book, okay, it's a decent book, but he's, oh no, and this book will help you and everything, and it saved this. Once they start to exaggerate and they make claims about a product that simply aren't there, you lose your credibility. So I maintain, if you're gonna make this claim about the Torah, and the average, unbiased, intelligent person sees that it's just not true, and you're gonna have to force it to twist around psukim. People can twist around psukim.
Right.
To make it appear that they're saying this, yeah, that is not a legitimate form of Torah study, to twist around the psukim just to help your case.
Right.
So I don't see, again, it's a dangerous doctrine if you're getting into that area. You're going to try and study the Torah, and now having all of these discoveries that have been made and show that the Torah really was indicating those things by a play on words. Bear in mind how much tremendous damage was done by the Christians were the first to take a false claim that ascertain that Jesus was the Messiah, and then to twist around all of the sources and make it appear by all methods of distortion that was really referring to him. We can't engage in that kind of a Torah study.